From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It's been just over a week since California held its primary election and votes are still being tallied. Sacramento County still has over 80,000 ballots left to go, and the state is reporting over 1.2 million unprocessed ballots, both as of yesterday afternoon. Confirmed results are still likely days or even weeks away. The Secretary of State's office will certify the results in April. But while the count is still ongoing, there have been some shakeups on the local level, especially in the race for Sacramento mayor. And on the state level, Governor Gavin Newsom's multi-billion dollar mental health plan Prop 1 is still sitting on a razor's edge. Here to break down the latest developments are Cap Radio Sacramento government reporter Kristen Lamb and politics reporter Nicole Nixon. Good afternoon, you two.
Hello.
Hey, Vicky.
All right, so let's start local. Kristen, so the Sacramento mayoral race, I mean, there was a pretty significant change in the totals after yesterday's vote drop. What did we see?
Epidemiologist Flo Kofer rose to first place. She's over 2,000 votes ahead of former state lawmaker Dr. Richard Pan, who has the second most votes. And Pan has 155 more votes than state assembly member Kevin McCarty, who's in third. And McCarty has 163 more votes than former city council member Steve Hansen.
Wow. So what have we seen in the vote count over the past week?
Last Wednesday, the order of the four major candidates was Pan in first, followed by Hansen, McCarty in third, and Kofer in fourth. So Kofer has really shaken that up in the past two results update. It's still a tight race, though, with roughly 2,400 votes separating the candidate in first and the one in fourth.
It's important to remember this was a race that had the potential to be decided on the primary if a single candidate received more than 50% of the vote. It doesn't seem like that will be the case, but is that still possible? I mean, what are the implications if this race goes to a runoff with top two?
Yeah, it's likely we'll have that November runoff, and it'll be interesting to see who the top two are. From there, they'll have to win over voters who supported the other candidates, you know, when we've got this kind of like about 23% split. And how much the top two candidates differ politically could really shape the messaging and outreach. Like, if these early results as of yesterday hold, we could be looking at Kofer versus Pan, with Kofer being the most progressive candidate, while Pan is more right of center, especially when it comes to police and homelessness.
Another big race was for Sacramento City Council District 4. That encompasses the city center as well as East Sacramento. And that was between challenger Phil Pluckybaum and the incumbent Katie Valenzuela. What did the results look like today?
Pluckybaum has a lead of about 1,500 votes, or 12%, over Valenzuela. This time last week, he had a lead of 19%. So the gap has narrowed, but he still has a significant lead. And countywide, there are still roughly 84,000 ballots left to process, but it's unclear how many votes are left to count for this specific city race.
Yeah. Well, what is this swing in results for both the mayoral and District 4 race? What does it suggest about voting behavior during elections?
It's possible that younger, more progressive voters turn in their ballots later than older, more conservative voters, just based on their campaigns. Both Kofer and Valenzuela's biggest and most vocal supporters are younger and more progressive compared to their competitors. And both of them have seen gains in the later results updates.
Yeah, well, according to these current results, which are still preliminary, what does voter turnout look like so far in Sacramento?
The voter data firm Political Data Inc. puts citywide voter turnout at 38% right now. That's with roughly 105,000 of 274,000 mailed ballots returned. And that's a little bit higher than for all of Sacramento County. The elections office shows that there's about a 20% turnout rate for registered voters as of right now.
Okay, so, I mean, Sacramento County is at 28%, but 38% for citywide in the city of Sacramento is pretty good, given that statewide the return rate so far is 30%. So, I mean, that kind of might indicate that there's more engagement in citywide races, which also brings me back to District 4. I mean, what stood out to you about the participation rate for this specific council district?
Yeah, Political Data Inc. says that the rate is at 51% right now and could get higher. When I spoke with Valenzuela on election night, she said that she thinks that if she loses, she doesn't think it would be because people didn't know that there was an election happening. I know that both she and Plucky Bomb really walked those precincts over the past year. And Valenzuela has faced both criticism and praise during her time on the council. She could be described as a bit divisive in the area. And downtown and midtown area has really seen the impacts of COVID and the rise in homelessness locally. Businesses and residents in this district are very vocal at public meetings. And East Sac has always been a pretty politically engaged area. And for many residents there, it's the first time that they've been able to vote since 2018 because of redistricting.
Mm. This wasn't the only city council race, though, for the city of Sacramento. Have there been any big changes to the other districts?
The other two contested races haven't really changed. Eric Guerra is still likely to win re-election outright in District 6. That's the Tahoe Park, Colonial Heights area. He has 67% of the vote right now. And the top two candidates for District 2, Sean Lois, former council member Sean Lalois' district. The top two candidates are Roger Dickinson with 46% and Stephen Walton, who trails with 16%.
Finally, Kristen, there was also a measure on the ballot, Measure C, and this was a business tax, which the city says hasn't been updated since 1991. Where does that stand today?
It's still looking like it'll fail with no votes at 61%. There's a difference of about 15,000 votes between no and yes votes for this update to the business operations tax.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're getting updates on the latest results from last week's primary. So we just heard from CAP Radio's Kristen Lamb about Sacramento citywide races. Now we're going to turn to CAP Radio politics reporter Nicole Nixon for a statewide look. Okay, Nicole, so one of the biggest races was Prop 1. That was lobbied heavily by Governor Newsom. It includes a $6.4 billion mental health plan, among other changes. What is Prop 1 in terms of voter returns? What is it looking like today?
Well, today it is very close. It's technically 50-50 split. There's only 4,000 votes separating the yes from the no vote. So very close. But since election night, it's been slightly up. It's had that lead of less than 1% the entire time. And yesterday, the no on Prop 1, so people fighting against this ballot measure, actually conceded. So it's interesting that they said this will likely pass. Then today, it's so close. But if you look at the ballots left to process, there's about 1.2 million ballots left to count around the state. A third of them are from counties like Los Angeles, Santa Clara, Alameda. Those are places where Prop 1 is way up. So I think it is, even though it's very close right now, it likely will stay in the lead.
Given that the Californians Against Prop 1, you know, issued a formal statement of concession, and you just touched upon it, I mean, could it be premature, just given, I understand that the counties that where a lot of the ballots still need to be counted, you know, they are heavily impacted by homelessness, but yeah, it still seems just really slim to make a formal concession like that.
It was interesting timing. I think that, you know, the trends show that I mean, anything could happen. But based on the ballots left to count, it looks like this will end up passing. It is interesting that they did concede and the governor has yet to say anything on this.
Yeah, you've also talked about this as well. I mean, there was a disparity in election funding and backers between supporters of Prop 1 and opponents of Prop 1. You know, with the disparity, the heavy funding going to supporting Prop 1. I mean, is this closeness, could it even be interpreted as a loss for Governor Newsom, just given how close and razor thin it is right now?
I mean, if it passes, I think the governor will be happy about that. But I think it is surprising that, you know, Newsom spent $12 million from his own ballot measure campaign on this, and it had support from other groups, law enforcement, NAMI and psychiatrist groups spent money in support of this. So, and then on the other side, the no on Prop 1 campaign had $1,000. So, yes, the fact that this is so close and that Newsom went on a statewide tour the weekend before the election to promote this, had ads for it, it is surprising. I think one thing to keep in mind is that the governor pitched this as, you know, more housing for mentally ill people and veterans. And while that is a huge part of this, it's not quite that simple. There were some very complicated changes to the Mental Health Services Act for how local governments can spend their behavioral health budgets. And there were concerns from some progressive voter blocs about how Prop 1 could lead to more people locked in mental health facilities into forced treatment. So there were concerns from, you know, more conservative voters and I think more progressive voters on this.
Is there the possibility of a recount?
It's interesting. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday because it has been so close and I got curious. So I looked up California's election recount rules. There is no provision for an automatic recount in California, which kind of surprised me. If somebody wants a recount, they have to request it and they have to pay for it, which I assume is a huge barrier in a state this big. The governor can order a state-funded recount only if the margin on a statewide elected office or a ballot measure is 1,000 votes or less. That is crazy low for a state this big, in my opinion. I mean, Prop 1 is like 50-50 right now, and it's 4,000 votes. So there are other states, many other states do have provisions for automatic or requested recounts if the election results are within like 0.5% or 0.25%. But on the other hand, doing a recount for a statewide election in a state this big, it would be huge and very expensive. So Prop 1 is so close right now, you know, that it's about 50-50, but it still does not reach that margin where the governor could call for a recount. And if it's up, he has no incentive to do that anyway.
Yeah. Well, of course, there's another big statewide race, which is the race for Senate. I mean, the AP has already called the race for Congressmember Adam Schiff, as well as the Republican candidate Steve Garvey. But it is interesting to see how votes continue to be counted as they come in. So what do the percentages look like right now?
Yeah, this was kind of another interesting update. Today, Steve Garvey actually jumped into the lead on the Senate race at 32%. Adam Schiff is barely in second, 31.9%. There's like a 5,000 vote difference. And, you know, the reason for this likely is that, you know, Steve Garvey, he was out. He was featured in Adam Schiff's campaign ads. He was like seen as the Republican in the race. Meanwhile, like Kristen had talked about, younger voters, more progressive voters tend to turn in their ballots late. And you've seen the results for Barbara Lee and Katie Porter kind of go up a bit since election night. So meanwhile, the Republicans that are turning in their ballots later are going for Steve Garvey. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they've kind of leached some support from Adam Schiff during these later batch results.
Yeah. A confusing part of the ballot, too, was that we had to vote twice for senator. So, I mean, is there hypothetically a possibility that we could get one of these candidates for the partial term, which is only like a few weeks, and then the other candidate for the entire term?
I guess, you know, hypothetically we could, but I highly doubt that would happen. You know, this special election will also go to the general election, in which case, you know, the very heavily Democratic voters of California will probably send Adam Schiff for those 2 weeks of the partial term before sworn in for the full term. But the reason, again, I want to review this, that you have Senate candidates appearing twice on your ballot is a relatively new state law. It stipulates that if one of California's U.S. senators vacates their seat, the governor may appoint a replacement, which he did. LaFonza Butler holds that seat currently. She decided not to run for another full term. And this law also stipulates that that replacement will hold the seat as a successor until another successor can be chosen by voters at the next general election. So because this happens so late in the term, it's weird, but you know, imagine if a senator were to vacate the seat a year into their term. Voters would want the chance to weigh in on that so that the governor's not appointing somebody who's then holding that seat for 5 years.
Right. There are also statewide races at the state capitol, the legislature, and we had some close ones and some interesting ones, competitive ones even, you know, in our area. How are those shaking out?
Those haven't moved much since election night. In the 6th Assembly District, it looks like Democrat Maggie Krell and Republican Nikki Ellis will face off in November for that Assembly seat held by Kevin McCarthy. McCarty. We've talked about this Senate seat in San Joaquin County where two well-known Democrats were trying to advance from the primary, Jerry McNerney and Carlos Villapudua, against one Republican. Well, not super surprising, the Republican in that race, Jim Shoemaker, has 41% of the vote, and then McNerney and Villapudua were kind of vying for that second place spot. And McNerney is up 34%, so it looks like he and the Republican in that race will go to the general election, which is a loss for Villapudua, who spent some time in the legislature. And then quickly, other incumbents, Republican Josh Hoover in eastern Sacramento County, Heath Flora, Stephanie Wynn, in the legislature, they'll all face challengers in November.
Finally, when we did our primary coverage, I mean, there was a concern about having low voter turnout, potentially it being a historical low, because I think on primary election night, less than 20% of the ballots were returned, which, you know, when you compare it to previous presidential primary years, was low. But we are still getting more ballots in. So what does the turnout look like now?
Right now, it's about 30%. The previous low was in 2012, and that was a hair over 31%. So it looks like with 1.2 million ballots left to count, I think it's safe to say we will not set that record for new record for low voter turnout, which is good. But I don't think we'll see it at that like 45% that we sometimes see in primaries.
Yeah, I don't know if we should be celebrating, you know, right. a third of registered voters returning their ballots. Nicole and Kristen, thank you.
Thanks.
That was CAP Radio Sacramento government reporter Kristen Lamb and politics reporter Nicole Nixon. They've been giving us an update on the latest results from California's presidential primary election, which was held last week. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.